Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff and we're delighted to have you with us today. And with me from North Carolina is my good buddy, Mike Lawing. And good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Joyce, I'm doing great. And it's exciting to be on the program today. We've welcome all our guests and listeners. We have a topic that should be of concern to everybody that hears this podcast in one way or the other, either for themselves or a family member or for a program that they're involved in to get something that can improve the quality of life for a significant group of people.
Sounds great. So tell us more. I hear you have a special guest for us today.
Oh, I have a very special guest. Last month, I'm a member of the Pink Ladies support group. It's a local cancer support group here in the Rutherford County area of Western North Carolina. And there's usually about 40 or 50 ladies that get together with all types of cancers. And I'm their token male. They let me come because I play the guitar and sing for them once in a while, and I play Santa Claus. So they allow me to come in and sit in. And so last month, we had a presentation on something that that really struck me as being necessary. Earlier this year, I think you and Robin spoke with Dr. Gwen Bergen from the Centers for Disease Control on the cost of falls among older adults.
Right.
And you focus on the cost and the burden in the healthcare system. Well, mm-hmm. You know, that's important, but there is something that all of us can do that my guests can tell us about to begin a regular exercise program to strengthen us and to reduce our risk of falls by some exercises that she's going to tell us about. So we've got a physical therapist from our local One Source Rehab, which is an outpatient unit of Rutherford Regional Medical Center. And her name is Barty Schammer. And Barty, I'd like to introduce you to Joyce and the group, and welcome to our broadcast.
Hi, Joyce, and hi, everyone. Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Wonderful. Great to have you with us.
So there are a lot of statistics that we can go through. Somebody during this podcast, which is 30 minutes long, according to the Centers for Disease Control, somebody will die in a fall that's over the age of 60 here in the United States while we're doing this broadcast, because one person dies about every 20 minutes from a fall. And many of these things can be avoided. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you bring that people can participate in that could help them to reduce the risk of falling, Barty?
Sure. So before I talk about that, I think I want everyone to understand balance a little more and why does a person fall a little more. So to kind of classify everything, what do you understand with balance? That's, it's basically the ability to stay on top of your feet and not reach the ground. And your body is born with a lot of abilities, and there are a lot of systems in your body that help you understand what's going around you, like under your feet or in the surroundings. And then your body has systems that helps you not fall. So the first step is identify the risk factors around you. So if a person falls, it can be because of intrinsic risk factors, and that could be that if you're weak because of a recent hospitalization or because you've had stroke or because you take medications that makes your blood pressure fall really fast, or you have poor vision, so you've had cataract, or you're not very good with looking at objects in the dark or just getting your eyes at that point where you can start getting to see everything clearly. And then, or you have a vitamin D deficiency, or then there can be extrinsic factors. And I think Dr. Gwen talked about that. You check for your surroundings. You see if there are things that are on the ground that are not supposed to be there, like throw rugs or power cords. And after you've identified all that, you understand how your body learns to balance. So I want everyone to look at it like a three-step process. So, and your brain is the second step. So it gets inputs from the environment, and then it sends signals to your body to deal with those inputs. To get inputs from the environment, your body basically learns to balance with three basic systems. The vision, so that's your eyes, and that means you look at your surroundings to understand how your body is oriented in respect to your environment. So the ground is flat, the walls are straight, or how far is something from you, so depth perception. Then the second is the vestibular system, and everyone knows that our inner ear helps you to balance, because if you spin really fast, something happens in the inner ear and it makes you feel that everything's still spinning. So there's a liquid inside your inner ear which moves as your body moves, and that's how your body learns how your body is oriented in its surroundings. Then the third is the somatosensory system. It's a fancy word so your joints and your muscles have some receptors that basically sense if your knee is bent or straight, or if it's moving, or your muscles are moving, and it sends signals to your brain, and that helps your brain understand that this is the current position of your body. And then on the basis of that, your body reacts. So some more terms that I want everyone to understand with balance is, so whenever I say basic support, that means that's the surface that you're standing on. So if you're standing on your feet, the base of support is that tiny rectangle that falls right under your feet. And if you were on all your fours, then that would be a big rectangle that would go across your hands and feet. And why I'm talking about that is because for a good balance, your body should be right over your base of support, or your center of mass of the body should be right over your base of support. And if for any reason that is not happening, you lose balance. So if you do lose balance, everyone is born with some intrinsic reflexes to avoid a fall. And there are four major reflexes that act to avoid a fall. And it is on the basis of how fast your perturbation would be if something's pushing you or something's throwing you out of balance. So for a smaller perturbation, your ankle works. So say you're standing on your feet and there's a slight nudge and your body manages to just shift weight from one foot to the other, or from the front of your toes to the back, and your body manages to not fall. If there is a greater nudge or the surface under you moves, then your body has a higher function, and that's where your hips come in. And so I'm sure someone has seen someone bend forward or bend back as soon as they start losing balance, and that's your body's
right.
ability to not fall. Yeah, so it's
Let me ask you, it seems like it might be good to do an example at this point. So maybe something like you stand in front of your desk or the counter and just hold your fingertips on it and close your eyes, and then maybe lift one foot or something, and you can feel your whole body making these little adjustments that you're talking about, that
exactly.
we have this innate, without even thinking about it, our bodies just normally readjust to keep our bodies centered over our base of support, as you said, over our feet. And that's really a kind of a fascinating system. But if people's muscles are weak, or if they have some of these events that you're talking about, some little stroke or something, then maybe that system is not working exactly right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yes. And also, if you don't use it, you lose it. So a lot of times our seniors, they know that they're weak, and then they try and stay on the safer side, and they don't put themselves out there, and they end up forgetting all these reflexes that they naturally had. But kids always jump around, and they're always keeping all these reflexes up to date. But as you grow older, you just don't do all those activities, and you forget them. And then a stroke or a recent hospitalization adds on to that. So you're absolutely right about that.
Right. You just said recent hospitalization, and I think people don't realize that if you lie in bed all day, even for one day, but certainly for 3 or 5 days, you lose a lot of muscle mass. And the older we are, the quicker we lose that. And so we really have to work at getting that back in good working condition.
Yes. They say your atrophy starts day one of hospitalization. So that's how quick you start losing your strength. It's so important to get out of bed and sit up and stand and walk.
And even if it hurts. I know a lot of people say, oh, but it hurts. And it's like, yeah, but it, you know, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. So you have to get it back in shape.
No, that I wouldn't really agree with that all the time. I think sometimes rest is important. This is where you probably need a skilled therapist to be by your side and decide the highest amount of activity that you should be doing with the condition that you have. And, you should reach out to a professional help if it hurts and you just can't do it, because sometimes the patient needs to rest. So and not always no pain, no gain applies.
The other thing, if you would speak to, I know lately they're saying sitting is the new smoking, that if you sit too much, if you have a desk job or something like that, that sitting too much is also not good for us.
Yes. Not only does it make you weak, it also ends up making some muscles tight. And so it's like some muscles get tight, some get weak, and then you start getting back pain. And then you decide to walk less because you have back pain. So now your legs are weak too. And it just keeps going on. And then that increases your risk for falls. And your back pain increases further, your muscles get weak. So sitting is definitely not something that you should be doing the entire day. I was actually having this conversation with my patients today where, people stress about stuff too much and then they don't move, whereas it's supposed to be the other way around, where your mind should rest and your body should move.
So far, we've talked about keeping our ankles to help us keep us over our base of support, and our hips keep us over the base of support. And you said there were two more. What's the other two on that, Barty?
So the next one is the stepping strategy. So these are strategies, the ankle strategy, hip strategy. The third one is the stepping strategy, and that is you keep walking in the direction of your loss of balance till you catch yourself, so you find your body on top of your feet. And this reaction would come if it is a faster nudge or it is a higher higher strength of perturbation. And the fourth strategy is lowering your center of gravity. So anything that is closer to the ground is more stable, and a wider base of support is more stable. So just standing with your feet wider is more stable. And so if someone does start losing balance, if you just bend your hip and knees and kind of do a mini squat, that helps with increasing your stability. So a person can use one of these or a combination of these responses to make sure that they don't fall. And with the three the first inputs to your body, vision, proprioception, and vestibular, you have to have at least 2 out of 3 to function with adequate balance. But as people grow older, their eyes get weak, their vestibular system starts degenerating, there are people who have diabetic neuropathy, so it decreases how much you can feel under your feet or how well you can feel if your ankle is bent or if you're standing on uneven surfaces. And that is where you come to a compromised position. Then suppose someone has a diabetic neuropathy, so they've already got the proprioception part not functioning well, and then they take a shower, they close their eyes when they're taking a shower because you don't want soap to enter your eyes, and they fall because they only had two systems that were working for them, and one of them got shut, and they just fall in the shower. So we need to train each of these as much as we can when we train a person to prevent falls. So it's like we inhibit. So if we want someone to strengthen their proprioception and vestibular system, then we make them perform exercises with their eyes closed. Or if we want to challenge someone's muscles, then we make them stand on one leg. There are various exercises that you can perform, or you can learn the strategies. So relearn, basically, you forgot them. Everyone knew them initially. And there are various exercises that we can use to relearn these strategies.
So I understand you have some exercises to share with us.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike. What were you going to say?
Well, you know, that people that are younger, they don't think about the risk of falling increasing, you know. But I've noticed even when I'm getting dressed in the morning, you know, I have more difficulty lifting up one leg to put on my pants than I used to, because I'm not as coordinated as well. You know, I have lost that ability to stand on one leg unsupported and to balance myself. And, you know, we've got statistics from the Center of Disease Control through their STEADY program. And, Joyce, if we don't have the link on our website on that, Marty has shared that with us. But
okay.
27% of older adults aged 65 to 74 have reported a fall. Now, that's 27% that reported it. That doesn't mean all the ones that fell and said, oh, I'm not going to tell my family, I'm not telling my doctor, because a significant number of people never tell their doctor that they fall. 30% of those that 75 to 84 fall. 37% of the people that's over 85 wind up falling at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible. That's an incredible amount, you know. And so we talk about death due to all kinds of things. There's more than 27,000 adults in the United States that die as a result of falls every year.
Every year.
And that doesn't,
wow.
Every year. And that doesn't, you know, I see people all the time that are in relatively good health, but then they fall and break a hip. And their days of being free and able to drive, able to take care of themselves at home, able to go and do their own shopping and everything. A lot of times for most purposes, that ability to do that has ended. You know, they wind up reduced mobility and wind up staying at home or have to go to a care facility for the rest of their lives as a result of that one fall.
Right.
So these exercises that Marty's going to tell us about are so important.
Yeah, you can retain your independence.
So what are some of the exercises that you've got? We'll have a link on our website that will show the 10 that you have on the Hep2Go program. We'll have the code and everything where people can access that on our website.
Right.
That's great. So I could go over all those exercises that I put on that sheet. So, again, the idea is to relearn all the fall control strategies. And those exercises either teach you the ankle strategy, hip strategy, stepping strategy, or lowering your center of gravity, or it just helps increase the strength in your muscles, which is very important. And sometimes if you're not flexible, that also can lead to a fall. So all those exercises collectively will try and relearn all that you've lost, or if you do have it already, it's good. It's a good way to maintain those abilities. So the first one I put on that sheet was called the single leg stance, and that's basically you trying to stand on one leg. So before I talk about these exercises a little more, we have to make sure that everyone performs these exercises in a safe environment, because you don't want to fall while trying to improve your balance. So it's a good idea is to find a corner inside your house and stand in that corner, put a chair in front of you with the backrest towards you, and that way, even if you lose balance while performing these exercises, you're not going to fall. You're just going to touch the wall in the back and stay standing. So if
and
you
it's also a good idea. It's also a good idea to kind of double check with your doctor and make sure these exercises are going to be safe for you according to the medications and everything that you're on too, correct?
Yes, and in fact, some people have medications that increase their risk for falls, and if you feel that you're unsteady, you should always talk to your doctor about it. And I think most doctors are very happy to send patients for physical therapy. And, some people need it, so it's a good decision to talk to your doctors about it.
Okay.
So, so if you've got the clearance from your doctor and if you'd like to perform these exercises, like I said, the first one was standing on one leg. So what you basically do is you stand between those walls and with the chair in front of you, and you lift one leg up, so you can, let's say you decide to stand on the right foot, you bend your left foot, and you put your hands on the chair, the backrest of the chair to start, and hold that position for 30 seconds. If you think that you're doing pretty well and you're not going to lose balance, go ahead and take one hand off, and if you think you're still doing well, take the other one off, and maybe you wouldn't be able to hold that position for 30 seconds on the first go. Start with 5 seconds, build up to 10 seconds, 15 seconds, just set a goal, and confidence is also very important for balance, and that's not just for these exercises, but in general, if you're scared you're going to fall, then there is a probability that you will fall. Another exercise that I put on that sheet.
You have your chair or your countertop there to catch yourself. So you're only raising your hands maybe an inch or two, just so that you're not using that to steady yourself, but that you could use it if you need to catch yourself, right, to be safe.
Yes, you're right. It's very important to make sure that you're safe everywhere. So, yeah. Staying behind that chair, having your hands right there is definitely very important. And it's also nice if you can have someone by your side, your spouse or your kids or someone, just to make sure that you're safe and there's someone to help you if they're available. So if we move on to the next one, it's called a single leg stance. And you kick your leg back in this one. So not only are you balancing on one leg, you are also strengthening the other hip. So you can do that in all directions, not just back, but you can face the side. So you can turn to the side so that the backrest of the chair is on your right side, say, and you can kick your left leg to the front, hold it for 5 to 10 seconds, and come back down, and you can do the same thing sideways. So three directions, front, side, back, and that will work on balance on the leg that you're standing on and strength for the leg that you're kicking back to the side or forward. And again, do 5 repetitions, eventually build up to 10 and maybe 15, and see if you want to break it down into sets. Then the next exercise that I put on that sheet was reaching forward when you're standing on one leg. So this is a little more challenging, and that's because you are really taking your hand far away from your tiny basic support. And this is where your body learns to not fall with your ankle and your hip muscles. So just reach as far as you can forward and stay close to the chair. Keep your hand right there on the backrest of the chair and take it off slowly if you can. Try to hold that for 5 seconds and then come back and repeat that 10 times. And that'll, again, help you with learning to not fall if you ever are put in a situation like that. So many people tell me that a lot of their falls were when they bent forward to pick something from the ground. So this can prepare you to not fall if you were put in a situation like that. The next one is called marching. So it's really marching in place. And again, you can have your chair by your side and you can either touch your hand to it or you can have it just above the backrest. That way you can reach to that backrest whenever you need it. And you raise your legs alternately. So raise your right knee up to the level of your hip and then take it down and bring the left knee up to the level of your hip and then take it down. And each time hold it for about 3 seconds. So if you're a person who wasn't able to stand on one leg, this is a good exercise to prepare your body to just start standing on one leg for 3 seconds, and then you get a support, and eventually your body will learn with minute adjustments at your hip joint or your ankle joint to be able to not fall. Then another one that I put on it was the heel toe walking. So this one helps with the sides of your hips. So what you're basically doing is you're putting the heel in line. So one foot in line with the other, with the heel of, say, the right foot touching the toes of the left. And you could either walk like that, which is called the tandem walk, or you could maintain this position for 15 seconds or 30 seconds. And this is challenging your base of support because it's a very small base of support. And it is, at the same time, training your hip muscles to learn about the deviations from side to side. So if you see, we've covered front to back, now we're covering side to side, we're covering ankle movements, we're covering the smaller basic supports, larger basic supports. The next one I put on there is called the Kleenex box step over. And what you do is you put a box in front of you, a Kleenex box, and then you stand behind the box, you step over the box with, say, your right foot, and you make sure that you strike the ground with your heel. And what this does is it helps your body learn how to shift weight from the front leg to the back. And that's when you probably, if you're walking outdoors somewhere and there's something on the ground that you need to step over, because a lot of times people are not able to do that and they can trip over things and fall. Tripping is one of the another common reason for people to fall. So you should have, if you couldn't, you should be able to balance on the left leg to be able to lift the right one up, if that makes sense. I think I'm saying a lot of right and left, so that probably may be confusing, but when you actually look at the picture, it'll make sense.
Marty, I'm going to interrupt you on that one. We've covered about six of the exercises, and there's four more. The Kleenex box exercise is one that I think everybody needs to learn how to do, and it's for very good reason. I have noticed in a lot of places there'll be a particular area in a what looks to be a smooth floor where there's a slight indentation. And I'm talking about less than a quarter of an inch a lot of times. And you'll see a lot of scuff marks there where people's shoes have marked that floor. And at a rest home where I work, I've noticed there's a couple of places in that building where you can't notice it rolling a wheelchair or something across it. It's that level. But I see people that their shoe actually drags when they go across that. And it indicates to me that they're not lifting their feet very highly when they're walking. So if they run across an imperfection like that, they'll actually stumble. And there was one lady that's up there. She visits quite a lot, you know. And I noticed at one point one day after this program, she stumbled a little bit and kind of laughed. And on the other side of the building, a few days later, she did the same thing. So I stopped her and I said, "Let me tell you about this clean exercise." And she went home and started doing it. And she said, "I never realized that my feet were so close to the ground when I walked that I wasn't picking them up enough." So that's, you know, that's something that a lot of us could be doing. Okay, I'll hush. Mm-hmm. I'll let you guys talk some more.
Oh, no, well, I'm so happy that it worked out for someone. That's definitely true. I see a lot of people who don't lift their feet high enough, and you have to tell them. You can actually hear their feet dragging on the ground, and you can definitely trip. And also, as you grow older, your reaction time decreases, so your body doesn't even react as quickly to not fall in that situation, because in a situation like this, where you trip over something, you should get the stepping strategy work. So you should step till you don't fall. But what happens is the strategy doesn't work because your age is going to affect your reaction time. And then
you
just fall. So, yeah,
that's
I'm
true.
So glad that you could tell that to someone. So, yeah,
Joyce,
let's cover.
Go ahead.
I guess, Joyce, you're the timekeeper. I guess we're getting close on time, aren't we?
We are getting close on time. I was wondering if I was going to let it run a little bit. But I do want to share with everyone that we do have the link in the text of that goes with this. If you go to www.myexercisecode.com and enter the code that we have in the text here, you can see pictures and instructions that are very clear, and you can follow Barty's exercises. The whole routine only takes maybe 10 minutes. It's not a long routine, and it's not strenuous, so anybody can do it. You can even do it sitting in a chair if you need to. But it is something that I think Barty's point is extremely well taken, that we all need to just exercise those muscles a little bit every day in order to prepare ourselves to react better when we do hit one of those little imperfections in the sidewalk or in the flooring that can trip us up. And what used to be nothing at all when you were 20 can be really very disastrous for you in the older years. So everybody needs to take care of themselves. I think we probably should just, if there's something you particularly want to go over, Barty, we can let it run a little bit more if we need to. Go ahead and summarize for us, please.
Well, I think you actually did a very good job with summarizing that. I like how you put it. So, yeah, you just need to prepare your body to be ready, to be in positions where you might lose balance, and your body needs to know how to not fall. Because it's okay to lose balance. I mean, if you have someone pushes you, something happens, you trip, you might lose balance. But if you have the strength and if you have the reaction, your body knows how to react, then you can manage to not fall, and that's what's important. So, yeah, I like how you summed it up.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times you don't have time to think. You know, your muscles need to know. They have to have it in their muscle memory, as they say, how to react when something goes out of balance. So they know how to catch themselves, and that's what we lose practice in doing that when we sit too much, when we lie in bed too much, or when we just simply slow down. And age makes it a little bit worse. So everybody needs to do this. I go to a balance class once a week, but this also helps to give you something you can do every day in the bathroom in front of the mirror, just holding on to the countertop and just do them right there. Something as simple as that, or do it in the kitchen, or do it in a chair in front of the TV.
Yeah, you're right. And then also identify all the risk factors around you, your medicines, your furniture, the light in your house, your bathrooms, or your corridor, your furniture. Just identify all the risk factors and try to address them before you fall. Don't wait to fall.
Yeah, an ounce of prevention is worth many pounds of cure, especially as we age.
True, true.
Right.
Very true.
Thank you very much, Bharti, and thank you, Mike, for setting this up. I think this was wonderful, and we really appreciate your time and your input and your expertise. It sounds like the Rutherford Hospital Group is doing a fabulous job. And, Mike, any other closing comments that you'd like to make before we say goodbye to everybody for the week?
No, we encourage you to be involved with this for yourself and for your loved ones and friends. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us, Bharti.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to be here, and thank you for your kind words.
Thank you, everybody, and thanks to all our listeners for being with us today. We hope that you'll be with us again next time as well. And meanwhile, be well and be a powerful patient. Take good care.
Hello.